Do you remember the first time the idea occurred to you to purchase the Hotel Metropolitan?
Yeah. We were on a vacant lot and peering over at the hotel that was condemned, and the siding was popping off the side of the building. It just was falling apart. And this man comes up, an older gentleman in the community, and told us about all the people that stayed there, Billie Holiday and Cab Calloway and all these famous people. And I'm like, in there, in that? And he was like, yes. I think it was, my best friend, Cheryl Cooper, that helped, has been and still works with the project today with me. I don't know if she felt it at that particular time, but it kind of hit me like a ton of bricks. You can't let this go. This can't, we got to do something.
And what year was this?
It was 99.
Would it be your opinion that most people in Paducah and certainly in the surrounding area were mostly or completely unaware of the significance of the Hotel Metropolitan at that time?
I would say yes, they were completely unaware of the hotel and its existence, anything about it, just the history of the area, because it was the area that brought Maggie to Paducah.
Did Big House Gaines still own the Hotel Metropolitan?
Yes, Mr. Gaines is Mr. Gaines fell heir to the Hotel Metropolitan. His mother and father owned it. In fact, he helped them to purchase the hotel. I believe it was in 1951, and his family ran it. His dad died in 1972, I believe, and his mother died in 1978, and so her sister, Miss Strickland, ran it from that time until I believe it was maybe she died in 1995 or 6, but for sure the hotel was condemned in 1999.
Were you aware at this time that Mr. Gaines was one of the most legendary coaches in the history of college basketball?
No, I had no idea, but it's a thing of mine to, do research on people. And someone had told me that, well, he's a basketball coach, and kind of left it at that. And then when I spoke with others, depending on who you spoke to, they was like, no, Big House Gaines is, he's big stuff. So at any rate, I tracked him down to the university, and they said, he doesn't work here anymore. I just call him at home. He's a citizen or, normal person now. And that's what I did. I tracked him down and spoke with him, and he wasn't keen on the idea of first donating the hotel to me. I'll say it like that. We weren't quite an organization at the time, and so we were trying to form, but I was sort of the spokesperson. And because he didn't know my family, I'm not originally from Paducah, and that's big with folks. Got to know who your people are, where you came from. All of those things. He wasn't, real keen on helping us. But what he did see in the end, that there were three of us that came forward. Actually, our whole board are women. There was Cheryl Cooper, who was like the, I guess you would call the guard dog. And then there was Sharon Pope. She wrote the grants. And Rosa Scott, she had a job to do. And then there was Corrine Harbor, who was our historian. So And she helped to bring Coach Gaines in and said, hey, we were, you know, 20 years younger then. These are young people that will probably be able to do things that we're not able to do, you know, being older. And let's support them. And so she helped to bring Coach Gaines around and to give us the opportunity.
Do you think his reluctance at first was due to it being something that had been in his family, or do you think he understood the historical significance of the Hotel Metropolitan and wanted to safeguard it from falling into the wrong hands?
You know, it could have been all of those things, but this is kind of how I have found people who are involved with historic things don't actually see it being historic. Do you know what I mean? It was a hotel that his parents owned, and at that time, which was purely natural to him, people of color stayed there because they had to. There was no other places for them to go that would accept them unless someone had a home, like Maggie, that's how she got started, that had a room that she could offer to black travelers, or, you know, not just black travelers. I'm going to say travelers of color, because if you were Cuban, you would have, if you, you know, your skin color was wrong, or you were a dark-skinned Cuban, then you would not be able to find, you know, you might as well have been black, because you would have to go seek out a hotel that would accommodate you. In fact, the Negro League baseball players would tell me that. They were, it was so interesting that they told me that a lot of the players that they had on their team were of Cuban descent. You know, it was because they were the darker of color, and they weren't able to play for the majority or the white ball team. So they became a part of the Negro League, and so they traveled with them, and so they had to stay with them.
Because at that time, you were either white or you weren't white, right? There was really nothing else.
Nothing else. No in between. If you had a percentage of something in you, then that's what you were. You couldn't be a portion of something and call yourself white. Some people passed, use passing. That's a term that people who were the high yellow color or could pass for white, they did so.
Could you explain briefly the paper bag test? I was equal parts horrified and fascinated to learn that this was actually a test they used as to whether or not people of color could attend school.
Oh, yes, it's true. I feel like I almost have to share this story with you. I was a young man came to the hotel, and he was white, and he had his phone available, and he was fact checking everything that I was saying. You know, I pulled out the paper bag, and I showed him how there was a picture of the first graduating class from Lincoln High School. And as I put the paper bag towards their faces, everyone in that photograph was lighter than the shade of the paper bag. So he gets on his phone, and he immediately fact checks me. And he tells me, Miss Dobson, that is a, an urban legend. That did not happen. I said, well, excuse me. I thought you were here for me to give you a tour. Now, if you want your phone to give you a tour, then you can do so. But you came to me and you asked me to share history. And it's a part of history that I was involved in. Though, when I went to school, the paper bag test wasn't conducted and used during my lifetime. But for my sister, older sister and brother, they had to face the paper bag test. And some sororities still use that method up into the 70s, and fraternities as well. And because that process began being lighter, you know, that shade of color making you better than another person of color, it tended to create a divide. And so the paper bag test was used for, like I said, right up until the 70s. And it got its start from the ends of slavery.
To be a person of color in 2021 in Western Kentucky, I mean, can you sense a difference? Are things more fair? Are there fewer obstacles on a day-to-day basis? Has there been progress?
Oh, yes, there has been great progress. But there is still a lot of work to be done. There's still that divide that exists. And I guess it's not so much that it is something that you can see daily, but it does exist, and it still is there. I mean, I hate to bring up politics, but our past president, he was not, in my opinion, a person of unity, and had caused great division. So I, in my opinion, where we were moving forward, he was trying to take us back. And but I'm so glad that we are a stronger group of people, and better people than that. That we. People rose up and said, "No, we're not going back to that." And I think also George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, because of what happened, because of those events, I think people saw that, hey, yes, there is a long ways, and this clearly shows that we have a lot of work to do. But I'm proud of those people that came out and said that I'm not accepting this. We are better.
You mentioned being proud. Can you recall your greatest moment of pride since the revitalization of the Hotel Metropolitan?
Well, there were so many kind of high points, but if I have to say the most recent would have been the speech of Mr. Booker coming, Representative Booker coming to the Hotel Metropolitan to ask for the community's vote, and standing on the steps outside, seeing the crowd of all types of people, you know, different races, you know, kids, people on bikes, you know, waving flags, you know, just singing, just, you know, I thought, Lord, this is why you had us here. This is that time. This is what all the hard work was for.